Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 1 this morning. So thankful for Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Listen, it's only by His death and resurrection that our sins can be taken away. Amen. And cast into that sea of forgiveness. John chapter 1, we're going to pick back up here in verse 35 as we started a new series last week, Back to Normal. And in case you missed out on that, just want to let you know, we're not talking about getting back to normal as in pre-COVID normal. We want to go way back. We want to go back to New Testament Christianity normal. I told you I would keep mentioning this quote from Vance Havner, who said, "Revival is simply New Testament Christianity, the saints going back to normal." And what we want to do is not base our understanding of Christianity, our understanding of living for Jesus. We don't want to base that on our society. We don't want to base that on our cultural norms in America today. We want to base that on the Word of God. We want to hear from Jesus, and we want to obey Jesus, and we want to follow Him, and that's what we want to get to. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35 this morning. "And again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, and I pray that you'll work in our hearts today, that if anyone hearing this message has never come to Jesus, that today would be the day they would turn away from their sin, from their unbelief, from their own self-righteousness or religion, and that they would come simply trusting with all their heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, in who you are, Lord, and what you did for us in your death and resurrection. And for those, Lord, who have come to you, I pray that you would remind us of the simplicity that is in Christ, that we wouldn't be turned away, but that we would just fix our eyes on you, that we would come to you, that we would abide with you, that we would continue with you, that we would follow you. Lord, please help me, for I'm nothing without you. Bless your word, convict our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we got just a glimpse, and there's a lot more to it if you look in the other Gospels, especially Luke, that gives us a lot more detail in John the Baptist. Now, we're in the book of John. This book was written by the Apostle John, who also wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation. But he's writing in this early part of the book about John, the other John, John the Baptist, and the ministry of John the Baptist in his introduction of Jesus. And we studied a little bit last week about how John the Baptist came on the scene. He began preaching, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he went all around preaching to repent and believe in the coming Messiah. And he preached to them to be baptized as an evidence of their faith in the Messiah. And he went around preaching and baptizing. Now, we're going to look at some of the early disciples. And if you study it out, I think you'll find that most of the people that we read of the early disciples were actually first disciples of John. We know for sure that John and Andrew were, but I think there's great evidence that others were as well. If you look just real quick at Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. Oh, sorry, Acts chapter 1 and verse 21. There we go. "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection." And so we get a little glimpse here in the early church, when they wanted to replace Judas Iscariot, they wanted to appoint another apostle, they point back and say, we've got to find somebody who was with us from the very beginning, all the way back to the baptism of John, and has stayed with us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so Peter's saying that, and it's evident that Peter, not only Andrew, but also Peter and some of the others had been saved and baptized under the ministry of John. We don't have a lot of detail about that, but I think it's important that you get this. We're talking about the early followers of Jesus. Many of them began by following John, but they left off following John and started following Jesus. Okay? Now, listen, wherever a person is today, if you're not following Jesus, that's what you need to do. Now, maybe you're lost. Maybe you've never been born again. Maybe today you've never repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone. You've never cried out and asked God to be your Savior. Listen, today you need to leave off from where you're at and start following Jesus. You need to turn away from your sin and unbelief and trust in the finished work of Christ. Maybe today you've been saved and baptized, but you're not following Jesus. Maybe today you're just following someone else. Maybe a pastor, maybe somebody you listen to in podcasts, or some other preacher you like to listen to, or whatever. If you're following someone else other than Jesus today, you need to leave off following them. It's time to leave following John the Baptist or anyone else and start following Jesus. Amen. I want to temper that. We know that Paul called the churches to follow him as he followed Jesus. There's certainly leadership in our lives, and that's all good, and that's important. It's all part of it. But ultimately, we want to all follow Jesus. When they heard the declaration, John introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, they stopped following John, and they started following Jesus. And I love what Jesus says in verse 39 in our text. He asks them what they were looking for, and they say, we want to see where you live. And he says, come and see. Come and see. I believe that Jesus gives that invitation to everybody. Anybody who wants to know him, he gives an open invitation, come. Whosoever will, let him come. Whoever is athirst, let him come. And so there's a great invitation to come to Jesus. So we're going to look at some people who began following Jesus. Some of them, many of them we're going to look at were already saved and baptized under John's ministry. Some of them we're going to look at weren't. But the point is, no matter where you're at in your spiritual life today, you're looking for God, you're looking for Messiah, you already know him. Whatever else we may be following today, we want to make sure we're following Jesus with all that we are. Jesus invites John and Andrew to see where he dwells. They heard John's testimony of who Jesus was, and that caused them to seek out Jesus to know where he was, and they saw where he lived, and we read that they abode with him that day. So they heard about Jesus, they sought Jesus, they saw Jesus, and then they abode with Jesus. Then I want you to notice what happens next in verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. So when John and Andrew go see where Jesus lives, and they stay there that day, at the very first opportunity he has, Andrew goes and finds his brother Peter and says, we found Messiah. Amen. There was a desire for him to know the one that he had found. I think this ought to be a convicting thing for us. When we look at this and we understand that maybe they were already disciples, but either way, can I just say to you, what Charles Spurgeon once said, have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. Amen. I believe this, if you've met Jesus, if you know Jesus, if you found Messiah, if you found the Christ, then there's going to be a desire in your heart for other people to know Jesus. There's going to be something in you that says, I want them to know Christ too. I want them to be saved too. I want them to see the one that we found, that we've been looking for, that we've been longing for, the one the scriptures have promised. I've met him, I know him, and I want others to know him too. Seems to be a pretty good place to start. This is the record that we have of John, Andrew, the first one that we have recorded who met Jesus to go tell someone else about Jesus, other than John the Baptist, was Andrew. And the first thing he does is goes home to find his brother Peter and says, Peter, we've found Messiah. You've got to come. And I believe this. I believe Andrew and Peter were both already saved and baptized under John's ministry. You can study that out. But listen, he still wanted Peter to come be with Jesus. I believe this. Hey, we've been listening to John the Baptist preach. We've been listening to him talk about Messiah who was coming. We've been listening to the one who's been making the way straight for Messiah to come, and we found him. Amen. We found him, and you've got to come see him. And so he goes first to find his own brother Simon and says, we found Messiah, and he brings him to Jesus. There in verse 41, by the way, when you study your Bible, the word Messiah and the word Christ, it's the same word. Messiah from the Hebrew, Christ from the Greek, and so it's the same word. This is the chosen one, the anointed one, the Savior of the world, and he brings him to Jesus. Verse 42 says, when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is his by interpretation of stone. And we know that later Jesus would elevate Peter to be a great leader in the early church. But remember, Jesus said, on this rock, me, the big rock, I will build my church. Amen. Right? It wouldn't be that he would build a church on Peter. Peter was just a stone. Jesus is the rock, the cornerstone. Andrew meets Jesus, and he wants first his brother to come. By the way, I believe the fact that the scripture says he first findeth his own brother Simon, I believe that necessitates that there was a second. There was a third. There was a fourth. First, he found his brother Simon. I believe the very fact that the scriptures, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John writes that he first findeth his own brother. This is an ordinal number. This is a first, second, third, fourth. Everybody with me right now? It would indicate that he wasn't satisfied with just finding his brother, but that he wanted to find others too, and later he would find others too. He was one of the apostles. He was one of the ones who would go and be sent out by Jesus to preach the gospel, and God used him. Jesus used him to reach others, but he started at home. And can I just say that if you've met Jesus, home would be a good place to start. Amen. Bringing others to Jesus. There are men who know Christ, who are married to ladies who don't know Christ, and those men ought to be witnesses to their wives. And there are ladies who know Jesus, whose husbands don't know Jesus, and those ladies, by their chaste conversation, by their godly lifestyle, and a meek and quiet spirit, can be used of God to bring their husbands to Christ. There are no doubt parents of children who are coming up to the age of accountability, and we ought to be working to give our kids the gospel at home. Amen. So the moment they're old enough, they'll know Jesus. I've worked with youth a long time, and I remember early in my ministry, we were at church camp at Box Springs, and a guy was there with his kids, and one of his kids had questions about being saved, and he brought his son to me, and I got to counsel with him, and that young man prayed to be saved. And I rejoice in that. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I rejoice in that. And I know sometimes your kids have questions. Maybe you need a little help. But can I say that even then, as a young man, at that time I wasn't married, didn't have any kids. I remember being grieved in my spirit that dad had to find somebody else to help lead his son to Jesus. You with me? Men, you ought to be able to lead your children to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ladies, you ought to be able to lead your children to Jesus. Amen. You shouldn't have to go to someone else to get the gospel. As a matter of fact, your kids ought to know the gospel from the time they're very small. Amen. You say, well, my kids aren't old enough yet. Well, you still need to give them the gospel. They need to understand who Jesus is. They need to understand what Christ did for them. They need to understand that they need a Savior. Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. In verse 43, The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, and the city of Andrew and Peter. So we've got Andrew goes and finds Peter. Then Jesus goes and finds Philip and says, Philip, follow me. Philip was the same place of Andrew and Peter. And I want you to notice what Peter did was when Jesus says, follow me, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. What was it when they said, Hey, Jesus, we want to see where you live. He says, Come and see. How did Philip come up with this idea to just say, Come and see? I just wonder, I can't help but wonder if maybe he hadn't heard a little bit of testimony from John and Andrew. And Andrew had passed that testimony on to Peter. I realize we read it verse after verse after verse, but this is a process of time. They're moving from place to place. Things are happening. There's time passing here. But I love it that Jesus said to those first followers, come and see. You want to know me? Come and see. You have an invitation. And when Philip goes to Nathanael and says, we found him. We found Messiah. He says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip's answer is simply, come and see. Amen. Come and see. I think this is a great testimony for us. Listen, notice again, Andrew went to find Peter. Philip went and found Nathanael. And then when they found them, they told them about Jesus. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then he says, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. And if the purpose of Jesus was to come and seek and save the lost, and we're commanded to go the way that he came, what are we supposed to do? Seek and save the lost. You say, well, I can't save anybody. No, but you can go find them, and then you can tell them who can save them. Amen. That's what they did. Amen. They went and found them, and they said, you need to come to Jesus. We found Messiah. We found the promised Savior. So he went and found him. I just want to tell you, it's not hard to find people who need Jesus. Amen. Anybody else agree with that? Amen. It's not hard to find people who need Jesus. Some of you are like, amen, I live with them. They're in my house. Them people, they need Jesus. Probably shouldn't say this. You guys always perk up when I say that. I know there's been a lot of controversy and debate about masks during COVID, and I don't really want to get in that debate, but I did read a conversation somebody had that I appreciated. Guy went into a store that required masks, and the guy there said, Sir, do you have a mask? He said, No. The man said, Sir, you need a mask. So his response was, Do you have Jesus? And the man said, No, I don't have Jesus. He said, You need Jesus. Amen. 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 You might need a mask. I'm not going to debate that with you from the pulpit. If you want to argue about it later, I will, because I like to argue. It's one of my spiritual gifts. I'm not going to argue with you about whether you need a mask or not, but I will tell you, you need Jesus. Amen. No question. You need Jesus. Amen. It's not hard to find people who need Jesus. Amen. It's not hard to find somebody. There are children in your home who need Jesus, and maybe they're not to the age of accountability yet, but they will be, and they need Jesus. And there are people in your family, your extended family, who need Jesus. Some of you have moms and dads that don't know Jesus, and some of you have brothers and sisters that don't know Jesus, and you've got cousins and aunts and uncles that need Jesus, and home is a great place to start, but you shouldn't stop at your home. You shouldn't stop at your family. We've got to go beyond that. And can I just tell you, I believe this to be true. One of the reasons our church and other churches like our church tend to stagnate at some point, because that's as far as we go. We'll talk to our family members, we'll talk to people we're related to about Jesus, but we don't want to go beyond our familial relationships to go to other people about Jesus. And I don't think there's any indication that I know of, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of any indication that Philip and Nathaniel were related. But it was somebody that he knew that needed Jesus. And you not only are related to people who need Jesus, but you work with people who need Jesus, and you go to school with people who need Jesus, and you have teachers at your school who need Jesus, and you have bosses at your work who need Jesus, and there are people at the grocery store and the gas station, and everywhere we go, there are people who need Jesus. So we don't have to go far to find people who need him, but we need to go looking for them. Do you believe that every time Jesus talked to someone, it was a divine appointment? In other words, Jesus didn't just accidentally run across somebody. It was always intentional. Did you know that God puts you in the path of other human beings, and it's not by accident? He knows what he's doing. And we need to start looking at every encounter with other people as a divine appointment. Albert Mohler said, at the end of the day, the biggest obstacle to evangelism is Christians who don't share the gospel. I know that's profound. Let me read it again. Make sure you got it. The biggest obstacle to evangelism is Christians who don't share the gospel. It's not complicated. It's just finding people who need Jesus and then telling them. And you say, well, Brother Isaac, how do I know if somebody needs Jesus? Well, if they're a human being, they need Jesus. Well, what if they're already saved? What if they already go to church? I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people who go to church regularly who need Jesus. Amen. Well, they seem to be really good people. Good people need Jesus. You may say, well, they seem really terrible. I'm kind of scared of them. Well, they need Jesus too. And if your family's like my family, if you just go to your family with the gospel, you're ready to go to anybody with the gospel. Let that sink in a minute. Some of you will get that in a minute. Because I know that your family's like my family. And you got some family members that are a little bit, what do the kids say now? Sketch? Anybody have some sketch family members? Yeah. And some of you are the sketch family members. Yeah. See, we all need Jesus. So find them, tell them, and bring them. Andrew found Peter and brought him to Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and told him about Jesus. And when he says, any good thing came out of Nazareth, he says, come and see. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now here's Nathanael who says, listen, Nazareth is a terrible town. Nothing good ever came. And Nathanael was somebody who knew something about Messiah and his coming. So he's not looking for someone from Nazareth. He's probably looking for someone from Bethlehem. If he knew his Bible, he knew Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. So he's not looking for someone from Nazareth. He's looking for someone from Bethlehem. But we know that Jesus would be from Nazareth. He would be the Nazarene. We know he would be called out of Egypt. And so there were other details that he was missing out. But Jesus says, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And look at Nathanael's response in verse 49. The skeptic changes his mind in a hurry. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but it makes me wonder, what was going on under the fig tree? I mean, in just one second, he goes from nothing good ever came out of Nazareth, nothing good could ever come out of Nazareth, to Jesus, you are the Master, you are Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel, just in an instant. Why? Because Jesus knew something that no one else could know but God. Now, we don't know. Apparently, Nathanael was under the fig tree by himself. Apparently, this was a place where nobody else was around. Apparently, no one else could know what was going on under the fig tree but God himself. And you just wonder if Nathanael had this was his secret prayer place, that maybe this was the place where he went to get alone with God. Maybe he was pouring out his heart to God. Maybe he was praying to God that Messiah would come and save Israel. Maybe, we don't know exactly what was going on, but we do know that whatever it was, only God himself could know, because when Jesus knew, it confirmed in his heart, it confirmed without any doubt that Jesus was Messiah, that he was God himself. What an incredible change that happened. Some of you have known Jesus for a little while, and some of you have begun to lose the wonder of who he is. But I just want you to get this. Every time that you've been alone in the night crying out to God, he was there and he saw and he knows. Every time when you were desperate and you were without hope and you cried out to him in your desperation, he was there and he saw and he knows. Every time you've had a wicked thought, you've been rebellious in your spirit, every time you've done some wicked thing, he saw and he knows, and he loves you anyway. He has this great declaration. There's no guile or no trickery in you, Nathanael. How do you know me? Well, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Jesus says in verse 50, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. There's a point pointing back to Jacob here. And it really isn't just in verse 51. It really starts in verse 47. When Jesus looks at Nathanael and says, there's an Israelite, here's an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. This is the word trickery. This is the supplanter. This is Jacob. Remember him? And he points to him and he says, there's no guile in you. There's no trickery in you. And then when he gets down to verse 51, after he tells him you're going to see much greater things than these, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And you remember Jacob's vision, how he saw the ladder going to heaven and the angels going up and coming down. Jesus says to Nathanael, there's no trickery in you, but I'm going to tell you about what Jacob saw. He saw me. Did you get it? The opening to heaven, the way up and down to heaven, is me. Now, what does exactly mean that Jesus said you'll see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man? I don't know exactly, but I know this. Jesus is declaring himself to be God. He's declaring himself to be the Savior. He is declaring himself to be the one who will get all glory from the Ancient of Days. See, here's the thing, friends. If we had the time, we would spend some time in John chapter 4. And you'll remember how Jesus is coming back, and he must needs go through Samaria. You remember how he sits on the well there because he's tired, and it's an odd time of day for someone to come draw water, but the woman comes to draw water. And Jesus says, woman, give me to drink. And she says, you don't have anything to draw of. And he says, well, if you had any idea who was talking to you, you would ask of him, and he would give thee living water. And then they begin this religious debate. Well, you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans say that here's the place to worship. That's when I mentioned earlier, Jesus said, there's coming a day, and the time is now, that your true worshipers aren't going to worship in Jerusalem or in Samaria, but they're going to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Jesus tells her to go call her husband. She says, I have no husband. He said, well, at least you're telling the truth there. You've had five, and the fellow you're with now, he's not your husband. Remember? Jesus revealed himself to her as Messiah. I know Messiah is going to come, and he just plainly tells her, I that speak unto thee am he. And she straightway leaves her water pot, and she runs into the city to tell the men of the city. And in John chapter 4 and verse 29, I want you to see what she says. Come, see a man. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Some of us feel completely inadequate to be a witness to other people. Don't we? I mean, I've told you before that when we go on visitation, we go outdoor on outreach door to door. I mean, I get butterflies every time I walk up to the door. I still get scared to death. I'll meet people on a job site, and I'm thinking the whole time, like, I've got an opportunity to witness here. I'm going to find an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. I'm going to share the gospel with them. And the longer I'm thinking about it, the more nervous I get. Like, I'm almost physically ill sometimes. Like, I'm gonna go throw up, and then I'll come back and talk to you about Jesus. Like, I get nervous. I get scared. I'm looking for those opportunities, though, and I'm waiting for that opening to come. And sometimes I feel so inadequate. And what if they ask this question? What if they ask that question or whatever? And we get so mixed up and we get so scared. But this woman knew Jesus for just a few minutes. But when she figured out who he was, she had to go tell everybody else, you guys got to come see this man. Come and see. Because really what it is, friends, it's not about you and us saving anybody. It's just you and I bringing them to Jesus. We got to bring them to a place where they can hear him themselves. And you say, well, he's not here. He's ascended up to heaven. But we have the word of God. And that's what we do. We bring them to him by bringing them to the word. And his word and his spirit will work in their hearts to bring them to faith. I love what he says down, if you skip down John 4:39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. This man knows everything about me. What kind of testimony do you have? A lot of times we talk about having testimonies. Somebody gives their testimony. They'll talk about how God's been good to their family and God took care of them, or maybe God helped them through a hard time, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your testimony of Jesus. When she went and testified, she didn't testify about herself. She testified of him. So I just wonder what your testimony is about Jesus. What would you say about Jesus today? Did he tell you all that ever you did? Well, maybe not in so many words, but he knows everything about you. What would your testimony be? While I'm a sinner, Christ still died for me. Verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know indeed that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Friends, this is the dream, that we would go to people, we would find them, that we would tell them, that we would bring them to Jesus. And yes, our testimony would help, that we would let them know what Christ has done in our lives. And by the way, our lives would be evidence of the change of Jesus has made in our lives. And then at some point, they would hear him themselves. That his word, his spirit would reach their heart and they would believe. And yeah, maybe they came to Jesus at first because they believed your testimony, but ultimately our heart's desire is that they would hear him, that they would know him and know indeed that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Very quick, I want to point out this important truth. All of the people we've looked at, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, the Samaritan men, these were all people who were religious people who were looking for Messiah. Even the woman at the well, the Samaritan, she said, we know Messiah is going to come in the last days. We know he's coming. They were looking for Messiah. But I want you to look at what Jude says. Jude, verse 21. This is really important. We live in the Bible Belt. There are some people who are looking for God down here. But our nation is becoming more and more atheistic. No religion is the fastest growing religion in America today. Our nation is becoming more atheistic, more secular, more humanistic, turning away from the things of God. And so we've got to understand that our audience is different sometimes. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I want you to get this. When Jude's writing about loving God and keeping yourself in the love of God and looking for the return of Jesus, you know what he says? He says, tell people about Jesus. He says, witness to people. He says, tell people to come and see. He says, bring them to Christ. Do evangelism. Do you see it? Keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? Well, you're looking for Jesus to come. And while you're waiting, while you're looking, while you're longing for him, you're telling other people how to know him. And you've got to make a difference. What's that mean? It means you need to understand that some people are different. If some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And listen, there are some people who are broken. They are hurting. And they are ready to receive the grace of God. They need a Savior. They need compassion. Other people are not broken. Other people are proud. Other people are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And they need to be faced with the fear of the wrath of God that abides on them today. And we've got to be able to make a difference. We ought to be able to understand and discern the difference. There are some people who are religious and they're looking for Messiah. And there are other people who are atheistic and they don't even believe in God. So we've got to go back to like Paul did in Athens at Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. And we got to start from the beginning. You got all these different gods. Well, let me tell you about the God you don't know. He's the one that created everything. You got to go all the way back to creation, bring them all the way through to the need of a Savior. And so we've got to make a difference and have wisdom. Look at what he says here in verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You know who that is? That's the one when he walked by, John said, behold the Lamb of God. That's the one who John and Andrew started following, and he turned around and said, what are you looking for? What seekest thou? Where dwellest thou? Come and see. This is the one who Andrew went and got Peter and said, we found Messiah, you've got to come and see. This is the one that Philip said to Nathaniel, we found Messiah, you've got to come and see. This is the one that the woman at the well met at the well, and she ran to the men of the city and said, you've got to come and see. That same one that they went to see, the same one that they began to follow, is the same one who has all glory and power and majesty forever and ever. The one that we worship, the one that we serve today. We got to make a difference. Some have compassion, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Do you believe that hell is real? Amen. Believe that? Amen. Do you believe that everyone who dies without Christ will spend eternity there? Amen. Do you really believe that? Amen. That hell is an eternal place of torment? If we really believe that, it's going to change the way we live. A little over a week ago, Riley Bynum's great-grandmother's house was burning. It burned down over in Salisaw. The neighbors saw the fire. They kicked in a door, and they carried Riley's great-grandmother out of the house and saved her life. You say, that's pretty amazing. I think that's pretty amazing. Some of you are like, it's what anybody would do. But I wonder, is it what anybody would do? Because here's the truth. Our neighbors' houses are on fire. They're burning. Spiritually, they're on their way to hell forever. Our neighbors, those that we're to love. And how many times do we see the fire and we just go to bed? We see the fire and we just keep driving by. We see the fire and we say nothing. What kind of a neighbor would you be if your neighbor's house is on fire and you say nothing, and you do nothing, and just go about your business? I would like to think that there's not one person listening to this message would ever do that. That if your neighbor's house is on fire, that you're going to call 911 and you're going to go beat on the door and you're going to scream and you're going to yell and you're going to do everything you can. And if you have to, you'll kick in the door and you'll bring them out of the burning house. At what point are we going to wake up, friends, and realize that all Jesus wants us to do to bring them out of the fire is to have some compassion and to tell them of Jesus, the only Savior? Come and see the one who's changed everything in my life, the one who's given me life. Come and see. That's all he's calling us to do. We've got to get to a place where we constantly have the heart to call people to come and see. I want to ask you to stand with me. I want to ask our musicians to come. This beginning of disciples in the New Testament, it's where we need to get back to. That as you hear about Jesus, you begin to follow Jesus. And as you follow Jesus and you see him and you understand who he is, that you would go and find others and invite them to come and see. If you've never been born again, I plead with you to repent and trust in Jesus this morning, right now. Listen to me, friend. If you're old enough to understand, you must repent and believe. You must be born again to have eternal life. And if you're not 100% sure that you're saved, you can pray and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Savior. Trust in him. He died for you. He paid your sin debt, and you can be forgiven. And you can receive the gift of eternal life. If you are saved, but you've never followed him in baptism, you need to take that first step of obedience and follow him and be baptized and serve him in the local church. If you have got to know him, if you've seen him, if you've started following him, then you must go and find others and invite them to come and see him too. If he's convicting your heart, whatever it is, you come while we sing.